Few Australians have enjoyed a meaningful pay rise over recent years, and according to the Fair Work Commission, a number of single-income families are now living below the poverty line. To lift low-paid workers out of poverty, Labor's promising to replace the minimum wage with what is called a living wage. But is that the answer? In a moment, we'll have a panel discussion exploring how the major parties plan to address the rising cost of living. But first, reporter Eliza Borello takes a look at how a so-called living wage might affect workers and employers in a vast state like Western Australia.
Perth cafe worker Sam doesn't know much about Labor's living wages policy, but he's keen to learn more.
Living expenses are quite high, especially living out of home.
The 24-year-old casual barista earns slightly more than the minimum wage in his industry, and he believes low-paid workers deserve a break.
Either pay people more or pay them the benefits, like holidays, sick pay.
South of Perth and away from the bustling cafe scene, Richard Licciardello takes a different view. He grows apples, pears and avocados on his family's orchard in Newlands, and during picking season he employs 25 backpackers on the minimum wage.
$23.66 is a lot of money. I've got a mate who employs carpenters, and a tradesman carpenter minimum wage is $26. Well, that's only $2 different an hour for someone who's done 4 years in an apprenticeship to get a trade, and I mean, obviously knows a bit, whereas these people come over, they don't know nothing. We teach them, and we've still got to pay them $23.66 an hour. Where do we stop?
Tony Seabrook agrees. The head of Western Australia's Pastoralists and Graziers Association says there's more than just the minimum wage to consider.
We employ generally low-skilled backpackers. We have to train them. They come here with an eagerness and enthusiasm, and so they quite often feel easy to train. We're paying about $23.50 an hour now for backpackers. Then you add superannuation to that. Then you add workers' compensation to that. Then you add administration to that. And you're up around $30 an hour. It's a very high wage for an industry that has to be well competitive.
So what is the minimum wage, and how would Labor's living wage compare? Currently, the minimum wage sits at around $37,000 a year. The union movement argues it should be closer to $42,000, or 60% of the nation's median wage, similar to a model that's been adopted in the UK. But the opposition won't commit to a particular figure. Shadow Employment Minister Brendan O'Connor says a Labor government would leave that up to the independent industrial umpire.
We believe the Fair Work Commission is best placed to examine the submissions made by employers, employer bodies, unions, community groups, and indeed the Commonwealth, if elected, if we choose to make a submission, and come up with not only what is a living wage, but also the pace by which that can happen.
What do you say to farmers who here in Western Australia are concerned about this living wages policy? They say it's very grey. They employ farmhands at a certain wage. They've done so for some time. Will they be able to keep doing what they're doing?
Look, we want to make sure that people can afford the wage increases. That's why, firstly, there'll be a round of submissions on behalf of farmers and indeed other employers to put forward what the living wage should be, and they'll raise concerns about affordability, and they should. They've got every right to before the Fair Work Commission.
Business and industry groups say there are risks in Labor's plan for both employers and employees, and the plan could end up costing jobs if wages rise too fast. Industrial Relations Minister Kelly O'Dwyer agrees and says the ALP must provide more detail.
It's very unclear what the Labor Party is in fact talking about here when they talk about a living wage. I mean, it's a great motherhood statement, but it does require much closer examination. There's certainly no detail around what it is that they're proposing. Right now, the Independent Fair Work Commission, which, by the way, was set up by the previous Labor government, can consider in its annual wage review, which looks at the minimum wage, a broad range of factors before determining what the minimum wage ought to be. Now, the Labor Party says that they want to have a radical change to that policy, and the question is, what does that radical change look like?
Rob Bray from the Australian National University Centre for Social Research says while tackling poverty is a worthy aim, a living wage alone won't solve the problem.
When we measure poverty, poverty is using an estimate of household disposable income, which takes into account transfers, So they're family payments, unemployment benefits, age pensions and everything, and the earnings of all persons in the household. Poverty is associated with part-time employment and is associated with no employment. So to the extent that the living wage is introduced, it doesn't have that relationship with poverty because full-time workers in Australia generally are on incomes well above the poverty rate.
He says the best policy approach to boosting living standards requires more than just adjusting wages.
What we actually need is the lever on wages and the lever on transfers and the lever on taxes, and in fact also some of the levers on employment opportunities being all pulled together in a coordinated fashion.
That's a view backed by cafe worker Sam, who finished a traineeship as a ceiling fixer last October but hasn't been able to find a job in his chosen field. He'd like to see more job opportunities and more secure employment.
Businesses are reluctant to help out their employees. It should be compulsory for all businesses to employ someone over a certain amount of hours full-time. So say 30 hours a week or more should be full-time employment.
That's cafe worker Sam in that report by Eliza Borello in Perth.